Chapter 3. The Young Quaker. The city's recovery was fast, a little too fast, some worried. But a few days ago, our city was covered with sackcloth and ashes, wrote one New York Mercantile Advertiser correspondent. Scarcely a carriage was to be seen, but the black and dismal hearse. Nothing was to be heard in habitations, but the expiring groans of victims and the lamentations of surviving friends. Thank God the scene has changed. Business and bustle, joy and gladness have taken place of death and his sickly band of diseases. But now, he fretted, youth with their bottles, their billiards, and their brothels were roaming the streets. Where? He demanded. Was he who convinces giddy youth that wisdom does not consist in the thickness of his pudding neckcloth, the breadth of his whiskers, or the spindle straw size of his rat-tail queue? And what better way to save the young men of the city from such foolishness, the correspondent wondered, than by occupying them with an intellectual puzzle? I therefore humbly hint, he proposed, that a certain premium be offered, say 100 guineas, to anyone who shall produce the best solution to any philosophical or mathematical problem. In fact, some of Manhattan's greatest minds had already spent the previous year grappling with a deadly serious puzzle. What to do about the city's foul and brackish water? Potable water was supplied by just one well, the tea water pump, a couple of blocks north of the site being considered for a new city hall. Some residents made pilgrimages there, like a thirsty urban herd to an oasis. The proprietors would let you fill up a large barrel for 3p. Everyone else waited for the tea water men, a small army of delivery men who carted massive wooden 140-gallon hogshead casks around the city, selling water by the bucket to subscribing households. But everyone knew the stuff was terrible. They pretend